a season like no other. Falkirk have went through the whole league campaign and not lost once. Unbelievable, phenomenal, incredible, invincible.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall.
Into the box, it's Adams. And McKeever scores! Agyeman lets it run, might have a chance of a shot. It's Agyeman! Oh, what a goal from Alfredo Agyeman!
Still alive, Dylan Tate tries to bend one.
And it's a wonderful goal! Orfield! Oh, he's back! The king is back! Scott Arfield! What a Falkirk return!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
It was Valentine's weekend, but our hearts were almost broken at the Falkirk Stadium as the honest men of Ayr went 2-0. However, love was not in the air at United as the Bairns fought back to grab a point. Hello, I am John McAnally. Welcome to Falkirk Daft. Sorry you were late with this. With me, the Ginger God Pod himself, the one-man band in the main stand, loves a prawn sandwich. It's Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. I know you're not feeling too great tonight, so
awful.
Fingers crossed. We have a good laugh.
It is 20 past 8 on Monday evening. I've already recorded the big Scottish football podcasts. Get it where you get your podcasts. And did a shift on Super Scoreboard where we've just had just some fantastic calls tonight of Rangers fans absolutely moaning as per this season. So it's been an interesting day, and I'm feeling pretty awful with the cold. So apologies if it goes all over the place today, you know why. So getting my excuses out nice and early. But we've got to talk first and foremost about opening a Tesco's, Ross. We talked about it in the last weeks. It's very Partridge. You got to cut the ribbon. We got to have games with the kids. We opened a Tesco's. Tick that one off the bucket list.
It is ticked off, yes. That was weird and kind of nice at the same time. It was weird. But thank you so much to everybody, literally, came along. Craig said there was about 75, 80 people there, and obviously there was about, 15 or 20 kids, which was nice to see as well. And
my cousin came down, she was like, oh, we just came down for the opening, and when he said celebrity, I didn't think it would be you. I was like, nah, nah, nah.
I don't know if we could be banded as a celebrity.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
But it was lovely to do. And as you said, it's one off the bucket list. And who else would have rather spent Valentine's morning with than your good self?
There you go.
And your wife, she was there as well.
Yeah, she was. Well, the kids and the wife came there as well. It was very Partridge. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. You know, I hope, like in the Mariner Centre where they've got the plaque of the Queen, there'll now be a plaque in the Tesco Express with Ross and John opened the store on Valentine's Day.
Someone asked me on Saturday at the game, would there be a wee blue plaque? And I was like, I don't know.
There you go. Look out for that next time you're in the Tesco Express in Stenhousemuir. We've decided Stenhousemuir. I've been reliably informed by listener Bobby Fleming it is Stenhousemuir. And not Larbert, so there you go. Yeah. So it's very good. I was on the way back from the game, and I actually need to jump in for a couple of stuff. Very handy on the way back to mine. So I just nipped into Tesco's. Craig was there, who's been our guest pundit before, so I was chatting with Craig as well, looking for some fresh salsa. They didn't have fresh salsa, so I had to go for the old Doritos tub for my fajitas on Saturday night, Ross. But that's it. So yeah, thanks for anyone that came down and seen that moment of our lives. It happened, and it was very funny, I have to say. I'm sure you've taken a lot of stick for it as well, Ross.
But my work group chat was interesting on Friday night, and actually we've not had much abuse from the boys. I'm sure that may come in the coming weeks. So.
I'm pretty sure it will. Right, so let's get straight into Birthday Corner. I've got some shout-outs as well, actually. First of all, Neil, our friend, is 70 on the 14th of February, so he's 70 just gone there. So could we ask you to give him a mention on the podcast? Something like, Neil Chalmers, Falkirk fan, friends from Shetland, Chrissy and Stephen Leask would like to wish Neil a happy 70th birthday. You might be 70, but you'll always be a Bairn. So happy birthday, Neil. That comes from your pals in Shetland, Chrissy and Stephen Leask. And Stephen actually sent a couple of, he's been dragged along to a couple of Falkirk games in the past by Neil. Sent a couple of pictures of that. And I think they're good football buddies. So there you go. Happy birthday, to Neil, who just turned 70 there on Friday.
Should we give him a wee Scott Arfield salute?
Scott Arfield salute.
There we go.
We should do that actually now. If you're listening to this, this will make no sense at all. Happy 21st to Ruby Adam. Ruby, I can't believe Ruby's 25 now. God. That's from Leah Trevis. And Ruby, you'll see Ruby around the stadium taking pictures. She's a great photographer. And she's promised after the shout out from Elsa to get more females and more women on to Falkirk Daft. Ruby's taking up the challenge, so she'll be on hopefully very soon. So that'd be great.
Excellent. Good news.
Yep. Happy birthday to Sydney Bairn, Gary Strachan. I've got a wee story about him here, Ross. For the last Scottish Cup final against Inverness, he got a flight from Sydney with a torn ACL on their Thursday, arrived in Glasgow on Friday, then had to fly back on the Mondays. He couldn't get any more days off work. That is devotion for you, and I'm assuming that is his brother or dad, Graham Strachan, sent that in. So, Gary, what a bairn you are, mate.
I am loving that. That has come in as well. It's a long flight, and just to kind of be in Scotland for like...
If we had won, though, it would have been worth it.
Well, if we'd won, yeah, that would have been...
We won't go back and open old wounds on that one. A couple of our mates just turned their birthday. Sinky was... Happy birthday for Friday past. He shares his birthday, and we should really have this in on like any good radio show. He shared his birthday, I noticed, with Kevin Keegan and Punjabi MC. So that was on Valentine's Day. I think he's born on Valentine's Day. There you go.
There we go. Indeed. And
of course,
happy birthday, Sinky.
Your big man, your big pal, Ross.
Yep. Massive shout out to my best mate, Gary McLaughlin. He is 44. Actually, by the time this goes out, it's today, so it's Tuesday the 18th of February is his birthday. Yes, big shout out, 44th for Gaz there as well.
Morton to celebrate.
We are. We're going to have a couple of Falkirk Daft Venoms in behind the wall. We will then get the bus through, and then we'll have a couple of beverages on our return. Hopefully with 3 points in the bag as well. That would be nice.
Fingers crossed. That would be the best birthday present. Someone's been in touch with us. There's a charity game, and I didn't realise. I actually came into work today, and Gary Spence was telling me that he'd done a couple of shout-outs for this as well. There's a charity game happening at the Falkirk Stadium for Shooting Stars, and it's Scotland's very own soccer aid. They're doing it in to raise funds for Alzheimer's Scotland, and it's going to feature like the likes of Graham Souness, Ali McCoist, team up with Seb, or celebrities including like Sanjeev Kohli. So that's happening at the Falkirk Stadium on the 2nd of March. Tickets are for £5 for adults, and under 18s go free into that, and obviously they'll be shaking some buckets on the day to try and raise money for an amazing charity, Alzheimer's Scotland, as well. So well worth getting along to that, getting your picture with a celebrity, a wee selfie with Sanjeev or Graham Souness or Ali McCoist. That'll be an amazing occasion, Ross.
It would. I don't know what order. I don't want to get a picture, to be honest. I'm thinking it would be Navi.
Go straight for Sanjeev, wouldn't you?
Yeah, because I would have to, and I would need to do some sort of Navi impression. Probably Ali McCoist then. I like Ali. He's a good lad. And then, yeah, probably Graham Souness would be last, I would think, for me. What would your order be?
Oh, I'd go straight for Souness,
Would you?
Oh, I love Pat Souness, just hard player. You know me, I like a good old hard player. That came out all sorts of wrong there, probably.
It did. I wasn't going to go there, but you've done well.
Smashing. I did put out my excuses at the start of the podcast for this. Got to say as well, a shout out, I spoke to Janice. Jean, we all know Jean, the legend of Falkirk. Jean, who does the 50-50, has done it since the days of Brockville. I got, how long has Jean done the 50-50? I'm sure I've asked her this before.
I think it must be 40, 50 years, John, between, and I know she's done other roles at the stadium as well, but from a 50-50 perspective, it must be 40 years. Must
be. The fact that Scott Arfield went straight to Jean the other week there and just gave her a big hug. I bumped into Janice, Jean's daughter there, who obviously also is taking up the family baton and does the 50-50 as well. And she says she's not very well at the moment. She's in hospital. So get well soon, Jean, you absolute legend.
Absolutely.
And we're going to sort out captains. Why have we not thought of this before? There's one person in the Falkirk support that deserves a captain's armband, and that's Jean. So we're going to sort out a captain's armband for Jean. So she can wear that during the 50-50s, but she's an absolute legend, and get well soon, Jean.
Yeah, no, I just echo that as well. She's the face that everybody knows at the stadium, and get well soon, and hopefully we'll be seeing her back at the stadium when she's fitting well.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, well, we get into the F Factor. Entries are now closed. and we've got to decide who is going through to the live final at Behind the Wall on the 28th. But we've got a few last minute entries, Ross. Let's kick off with Brendan, who has sent us a DM on Twitter. And you'll know this one, Ross. To the chorus of Made of Stone by the Stone Roses.
Yep. You know that.
Yep,
I do.
So here we go. Here we go. I'm going to have to sing this one. I wish you'd sing
it, right?
Here we go. Sometimes I fantasize Scotty Arfield scoring for us while the Flowers lie far below us. Don't these times fill your eyes? Saturday night sounds like heaven when Scott's wearing 37. He is one of our own. Scotty Arfield's home. Need to work on that last line, but like that's class. Absolutely.
That's very, very good. And you sung it well as well, John.
Thank you. Thanks very much. So there we go. We've got Rory Henderson, who I'm going to let him off because he's in Guatemala, Ross. So he is sent from a bus in Guatemala, which is amazing to think that there is someone listening to our podcast in a bus in Guatemala. He has popped us a message to the tune of Common People. Right, so you're ready for this?
Yep, I am.
You're aware of Common People by Pulp?
Very much so.
Want to take this one then?
Oh, Christ, right, okay. I've not even looked at this one, so hopefully I do this one justice. So, right, okay, so to tune of Common People. So he came from England, he had a thirst for knowledge, he studied football at Heriot Watt College, that's where he caught my eye. He told me that his name was Barney. I said, in that case, play for the Navy Blue Army. He said, fine. And then in 6 months' time, he said, I want to live like Falkirk Barons. I want to do whatever Falkirk Barons do. I want to play with Falkirk Barons. I want to play with Falkirk Barons like you.
Nice. The voice of an absolute angel, I have to say. Unbelievable stuff from Ross Wayne there. Like that. I like how we're getting into the indie vibe now as well.
But we've had voice notes this week as well, haven't we? So is it Fraser and Smudger?
Yeah, so let's kick off with Fraser and we'll finish on Stevie Beveridge. We just checked Fraser's voicemail note's not working, so it means I'm going to have to sing it again because he sent us out the words to it. I've noted down the lyrics for my Tom Lang Stayin' Alive song. Now, are you aware of the Stayin' Alive by the Bee Gees, Ross?
Very much so, yeah.
Also covered by Entrance back in the 90s. Right, here okay, we here we go. This is for Tom Lang from Fraser. Right, here we go. Well, you can tell by the way, it's very high, the Bee Gees are very high. Here we go. Well, you can tell by the way he uses Wacky, he's a model pro, no time to talk. His shirt on tight and his Brook cologne, he's been in the blues since Steel Bairn since he was born. Now it's alright, it's okay, you ain't scoring here today. Don't even try a cheeky pass or you'll end up on the grass. If you try screamer, he's going to for your femur, he's Tom Lang, Tom Lang. His super power tash is why your team is gash, it's Tom Lang, Tom Lang. Tom Lang, Tom Lang, Tom Lang.
That's pretty good, actually. That is pretty good.
Straight through.
Just to clarify, he rhymed tash with gash.
He did well.
There,
anyone that can, with that lyrical prowess. So, listen, we've got to decide who's going through the live finals. We have, however, the finale of the X Factor, and it's from a well-kent face round the toon. Our friend and your friend, Stevie Beveridge. Now, this was sent when, Ross?
This was just yesterday. However, I believe he was down in London. I think because his smaller team is Man United, and I think he was down there at London. So I think this is a few beers.
Right, so this is after a few beers, we reckon, from Stevie Beveridge. Well, he's been down at the Man United Spurs game. So here's Stevie.
Starting
well.
We've got the Arfield back. I forget the words. I fucking wrote it to you. We've got the Arfield back. He's already scored in Belton. We've got the Arfield back. He loves us more than Rangers. We've got the Arfield back. In number 37, we've got the Arfield back. He
said to us
from heaven.
Brilliant.
You know, I actually love that. And I think it's the first time.
It's original.
I've never heard the Men in Black theme tune being used for anything ever before either. And there was also that wee noise at the end. I'm not even sure what that was. It was like some sort of like random little buzzer that whatever went on in the background. But a good effort from Smudger.
There we go. So we will be back on the podcast next week to tell you who has made it through to the live finals at Behind the Wall. And that's just going to be the climax of Falkirk Daft Live 3 on stage. And hopefully a celebrity guest panel deciding on who the winner will be of the F Factor 2025. Ross, you're going to have to do your best Louis Walsh impression.
Oh, Christ. Yeah, I'll be practicing that between now and then, I think. I'll just try and be a cunt. That's the same as being Louis Walsh.
That's true. Listen, before we get into the club news, let's say thank you to our episode sponsor, SDS Garden Buildings and Landscape. They're new on Falkirk Daft, and we appreciate Stuart for getting in touch and thinking of us when he was wanting to advertise his new business. So Stuart, he's not your typical tradesman, Ross, get this. He's a woodwork teacher what runs... Everyone's got to have a side hustle in this day and age. So as well as being a woodwork teacher at a local secondary school, he's doing his running his business probably at the weekends, as a lot of people do. So he knows like what you get with tradesmen. You're not going to get that with Stuart, right? Because communication reliability is something he takes pride on, and he always takes respect when working on site and in your house, as a teacher would do. So Stuart builds a pub or an office or a gym, whatever you want in your back garden. It's always been a dream of mine, Ross. You know this. You have one. You have the Wayne Bar, which I keep moaning about. I've never had an invite to, by the way.
We need to change that.
We need to change that. But Stuart's going to build you a pub or an office, a gym, whatever you want in your back garden. He's also done stuff for Forest and Jewelers, right? So if you want that, he's going to do a unit for you, treated in Scandinavian redwood cladding, which is... sources from down south, and apparently looks absolutely amazing and a real standout. So if you're thinking about building a pub in your back garden, Stuart's the man to go to. So basically he's flexible, works with customers on spec to build, and he doesn't insulate them, doesn't terminal works, and he's got a new website which you can check out all with a fully transparent price list, right? sdsgardenbuildings.co.uk, sdsgardenbuildings.co.uk. It's in the links below. It'll communicate you throughout the process. It's got a Facebook page as well, so just type in SDS Garden Buildings into your Facebook. You'll get them on there. Providing CAD design service, and before any money is paid, you'll work alongside customers to create some CAD drawings of your specific design. And like I say, coming in that lovely red wood Scandinavian cladding as well. So smashing. I've always been a dream. It's always been a dream to me. My garden's not big enough to have a pub in it, but it will happen one day. And as I always say, Ross, keep it in the Falkirk family. So if you're thinking about getting a pub or an office or a gym or anything like that done in your back garden, Stuart is the man that you want to speak to. All right.
Absolutely.
So get that done now, sdsgardenbuildings.co.uk. Right, before we get into the news, I think it's really important that we speak about a big thing that's coming up for Falkirk Daft and for the Falkirk women's team. We are doing a feature day this Sunday, Ross.
We are, yes. So this is our collaboration with Falkirk Women. So as everyone will know, we sponsor the Captain's Armband and the Captain, Anna Murray, this season. However, we just thought... it's not that the girls don't get fans along at their games. They definitely do. However, what we thought would be kind of cool is, can we help get them a record crowd in? Now, they've never really sort of tallied up how many they get, but they think it's somewhere in the region of about 50 to 100 on a game-by-game basis. Can we smash that crowd, though, John? So, massive, massive game. They're playing top of the league, East Fife, on Sunday. It's £4 to get in, free if you're under 12 or indeed a member of the Falkirk Community Foundation teams as well. You can get in for free. But delighted that we're going to be joined by Josh to talk about it as well.
So Josh joins us on the show. He's a coach at Falkirk Women. Josh, welcome to Falkirk Daft.
Welcome, Josh.
How's it going, guys? Thank you.
No problem.
Great. Let's first of all talk about the result yesterday. Sore one to take for the girls, 3-0 up against Glasgow Girls, and then they managed to pull it back to 3-3.
Yeah, it's painful is probably the right word for it. We were excellent, probably our best 45 minutes. We absolutely ran over the top of them in the first half. We came back out and then brought it in. One of our worst 45 minutes performance, it's a kick in the teeth for us because we put ourselves in a really good position. Can't really be 3-0 up at home and not walk away with the 3 points. Benefit is that we're still right in and about it. Glasgow are a good side, but yeah, it's one that I think we'll look back on and potentially be annoyed at ourselves with it, but yeah, positive if we did a really, really good 45 minutes.
Yeah,
I think when I saw the updates, because coming through on the phone, Josh, I thought this is going to be 6-7, whatever here. So yeah, the girls would have been disappointed to kind of just get the point on the day. However, you've now got an opportunity though to play against East Fife, who are currently top. And when I look at the table, we've obviously got a game in hand over East Fife as well. So this could be a huge, huge match and pivotal for in terms of kind of getting towards the top of the league.
Yeah, I think we're in a really, really odd position just now that we get two games in hand over most teams and one game in hand over East Fife, who are top of the league. Just by the way that the league has been, teams not been able to fulfil fixtures and stuff like that, ourselves included with some of them. Yeah, it's a bit skewed just now. So it really, really, really is tight. I think there's about 9 or 10 points splitting the top 8 teams, which is really, really exciting for the league, because for a long time in women's football, the disparity within the leagues, it is not enjoyable for anybody to watch at all, and that's, everybody knows that. So having a really, really competitive championship has been good. But yeah, if annoyingly if we turned three points yesterday, then and go and get a good result on Sunday, we'd be right back in there with the two games still in hand on the teams around us. So but yeah, no, Sunday's a huge game for us, absolutely huge game.
And that's why you should get along to the stadium. It's 3 p.m. kickoff, Josh, isn't it?
Yep, 3 p.m. kickoff. Turnstiles open from 2 o'clock. I think there'll be about 3 turnstiles in operation. 2 card payment, 1 cash. So you should
be able to
use either one of it. And yeah, it should be really, really good to get people along. Great to see. Hopefully some new faces, some recurring faces there as well. Really cheer the girls along.
Amazing.
Yeah, should be good.
There's been a bit of a turnover in the squad this season. Josh, how have the new players adapted to playing at Falkirk? Who's been the kind of standout performers this season?
Yeah, I think the thing with women's football is it's not contracted as such as a men's game is. So girls kind of freedom to move throughout the season. We've got quite an elongated transfer window as such that you can basically move throughout the season. So I think we retained about 6 of our squad. So yeah, been a massive, massive turnover for us. The girls that were here last year, we're brilliant to get us promoted, but I think we want to go a slightly different direction this year. So yeah, I think some of the names that are picking up, Brogan Anderson and Mary have scored a lot of goals recently. Anna's been an absolute standout as a captain at the back as well. But throughout the squad, we're actually really, really, really blessed with the talent that we have. We've got a real good mix of experienced players who have been there and done it, quite a few with top flight experience. We've got good few that are in that kind of prime, their 24s to 30, and then we've got a good core of youth as well coming through. Our 18s were in a performance league last year. At 16s, got a couple of good players, so we've had 4 or 5 of them up this year training as well, and a really, really strong party we've got building. You should hopefully see some excitement on Sunday. We like to attack, we like to play good football, we try and emulate the men's team as much as we can. And East Fife do the same. East Fife are a very, very good team, so it should be 2 teams want to play good football on Sunday.
We're really looking forward to it, John, aren't we? Because it's something we've been talking about since the start of the season, really. And obviously, we came down to training, I think it was in the summer, Josh, and got up with Anna and Gemma and stuff. So, and obviously, it's not going to be the only time we'll see you in the next week, because you guys are all coming along to Falkirk Daft Live as well.
Yeah. Something that we're really looking forward to doing, actually, and really, really happy that you guys are helping us out this year. It's been a massive, massive help for us. We are completely self-funded, so any wee exposure and help we get is massive. But we're really looking forward to actually coming along to the event. We've got most of the squad are coming along. It should be really, really good, and we're all looking forward to it.
Are they allowed alcoholic beverage that evening, or are they off it? Or
I think we'll allow them 1 or 2 max. We can't be too harsh on them, because I think we all be having one as well as a coaching staff. So. Hopefully the game on the Sunday's a later kickoff for us.
It can get wild. I'm hoping Anna's coming along, Falkirk Daft captain, because I'm going to try and convince her to be one of the F Factor judges on the night, so we'll need to get her up for that. Josh, if there's anyone, girls out there listening to the podcast, any women that wants to get involved with the foundation and the women's side of the thing, what's the best way of going about it?
So for that, it's mostly through social media. Ben Shearer Richards is our kind of director of football at the women's side. and does a lot of promotion for all age groups. I think we've got from under sevens right up until under 18, so it's the biggest pathway in the central belt of Scotland. So anything on the social media pages, the Falkirk Women's kind of Twitter and Instagram are run by one of our players is doing it just now, myself. So if anybody's interested, drop a message into that and we'll be able to pass it on to Ben or contact directly through the Facebook pages. But the guys are always looking for more people to come in and give it a go. If you've never played before and you're thinking it's good, go and give it a go.
Brilliant. Well, I'm taking my daughter down on Sunday. She's not been to a Falkirk game in ages, so I think it'll be really nice for her to see the women in action. I'm really, really looking forward to it. I've got to say thanks so much for joining us on Falkirk Daft today, Josh. So just details again, stadium, 3 p.m. kickoff, turnstiles open, both cash and card, and get down there, support the girls, and we're really looking forward to being a supporter of that on Falkirk Daft, Josh.
Thank you very much again for everything you're doing, guys. I'm really looking forward to seeing you on Sunday and everybody that can come along.
Brilliant. If anyone heckles, it'll be Ross shouting, push out. It's go-to football just phrase. Yeah. If you hear the shout of, push out, that'll be Ross.
That is usually me, to be fair. And one other thing, Josh, we need to tell people is, and this might sway some more kids to go as well, you can get a captain's armband on Sunday because Anna's going to give away an armband.
Amazing.
So,
brilliant.
Yeah, and I'll look forward to it, guys. So, thank you very much again. And yeah, hope you all enjoy it.
Right, we'll see you Sunday, Josh. Thanks very much. That's Josh Thompson, coach at Falkirk Women. Have to say, I'm really looking forward to that on Sunday, Ross. Really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to taking my daughter and just showing her that women are out there playing football and hopefully inspires her. So, I'm really looking forward to the game and just really nice touch with Anna giving away the armband at the end.
Yeah. No, it's going to be nice. And I'm the same. Obviously, I've had my youngest daughter at the last two men's games. So when I told her about the women's game, she's desperate to go as well. So
brilliant. She's been a decent good luck charm, Amelia, at the last couple
she
of
has. Games. So, she has. So fingers crossed, she brings some luck to the girls. Because it is a huge match. East Fife are obviously doing very, very well. But if the girls get 3 points, and as Josh says, they've got a couple of games in hand, who knows where Falkirk Women may finish the season.
Exactly. We'll see you at stadium Sunday, 3 o'clock. I wanted to get into this a bit further, but the FSS have had a huge update this week on Project 1876, which is going to show stronger engagement with greater consultation and collaboration and a focus on shaping the club's future. I reached out to the FSS to see if we can get them on, but I think I'd like to get them on next week to talk through this whole project. But you've read the paper, presumably, Ross. What do you make of it?
Yeah, no, it'll make sense to me, if I'm being honest. It's a progressive update. They're right, we're in a different space than we were 3 years ago when it launched. The numbers are obviously, I read 1,100 current membership, which has obviously grown substantially over the last season or so as well. So yeah, no, it all sounded very, very positive, but to get the sort of detail from them, I think that would be great as well. And they can obviously share the thinking behind it. It was a very, very detailed press release. They've got their AGM coming up, I think it is in later on this month or in March, I read as well. So yeah, no, it makes sense for it to be evolving all the time. And personally, I think it's really good that they're obviously the membership are going to have a voice, and not just in terms of the safeguarding, because that the share situation was something that was talked about loads. But obviously there's going to be discussions around the members can have a voice around what they fund going forward.
I think it's great. I think important bit so that you can decide whether it's going into the player fund, if it's going into the academy, if it's going, you know, you can decide on that.
And you stand potentially, John, as well.
Engaging with the because we're all, you know, signed up to the Falkirk Sports Society, and if you aren't, get involved with it now. But yeah, it's really important. So I want to speak to one of the committee next week on the show and get a real lowdown on what differences is going to make to the football club. So we're all shareholders. We all own that massive 25% of the club now. So it'll be great to see what happens with the FSS going forward. So
it really will. And I think The fans are the club. We've said this many, many times now, and it's so important that people have a voice and get involved. So as you said, if people can get involved, please do so. The club are obviously not in a position to sell any shares currently. There is, we obviously advertised shares for a fan a few months back. There are they've sold really, really well, but there are still some shares available. So if someone is really, really keen to be a part the ownership of the football club, not only through FSS, but directly as well. Get in touch with us and we'll pass your details on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just another wee bit of news. Liam Henderson was named January Player of the Month. I don't think there's any arguments to get in that. He's going to be Player of the Year. Just the consistency he shows every game. He's the most consistent player. He has been since day dot of the season. He's been outstanding. Absolute Kaiser at the back. I love watching him play football. He's vastly turned into one of my favourite Falkirk players. Just, I love a centre half, you know me, but no, a big ball playing centre half like Hendo, he's been outstanding. So yeah, consecutive player of the month. Any other contenders that could have went in there
for January? No, I don't think so. There obviously we've been we had a bit of a mixed January, didn't we? But yeah, I think Hendo has been phenomenal. I think he has some work cut out to make it three, because I've got a funny feeling this is going to be pretty popular in the February vote. But do you know what, Hendo? I think you're right. I think Hendo will be the Player of the Year. I think he will win most Player of the Years for the supporters' buses and
Falkirk Player of the Year. Exactly. Yeah. So well done, Hendo. Right, before we get into the game against Ayr, let's thank our sponsors behind the wall. Stay local, eat and drink global. The Falkirk Daff Enum is, of course, still on sale, and back to its brilliant navy blue as well, if you've been in the pub recently. They have an amazing offer. We've told you about this before. We don't know why you don't take us up on this. In fact, so many people are, because you hardly get on the bus these days. £5 for home games. It gets you down to the game, gets you back up, gets you a pint back in the pub afterwards. And they also do the same offer for away games, which is £10, except Ayr and Greenock, which is this Friday, which is £12.50. And I think all the bus tickets are gone for Greenock now, Ross.
I saw Brian had shared a post earlier today, as in Monday. They are down to the last few seats. So
right,
get in touch ASAP if you want to go to Greenock for £12.50. But as you just said, you'll get a pint as soon as you're back in the pub as well. So
Friday night out back in the toon. Brilliant. That's what you want. So Scott, names to Scott at the bar, or give Behind the Wall a call. Check them out, behindthewall.co.uk as well. You'll see all the entertainment they've got on. We've got some amazing bands coming up. And it's £3.95 for a Guinness when Scotland Rugby is on. So if you're wanting to watch the old egg chasing, get along to Behind the Wall this Saturday. It's Scotland versus England, of course. So you'll get £3.95 a Guinness there. And you can get a Falkirk Daft logo on top of your Guinness as well. Absolute sorcery. And of course, if you save your 50-50 tickets, you turn that £3.95 into £2.95, don't you? Because you get a pound off your drink.
There we go.
What is not to love about that? So Behind the Wall, head down there for the rugby. And obviously, if there are still some spaces for Greenock on Friday, get your name to Scotty or on the phone. Right, let's talk about Ayr. I'm looking forward to talking about this game. And we're going to do it with a man who's been on the podcast before. You'll know his voice. He's co-coms on Falkirk TV. It's Josh Heggie.
How we doing, guys?
Good, man.
Good to have you back on. Have your dulcet tones, which we normally hear screeching round. My favourite thing about Josh is, right, see when Sean's doing the commentary and he always listens in, you can just hear Josh in the background going, "Yes, come on!" Yeah. You always hear Josh. It always makes me laugh. Sean's been this professional like commentator, try to hold it together, and all you hear is Josh in the background just going, "Come on, yes!" And
it's funny because the better the goal, the more higher pitched I get, and you can hear it in the background.
I think my favourite was obviously Callum Morrison's when he hit that one again. I think there's a real high pitched squeal when Callum Morrison scored that goal against Montrose.
And then there's for Tom Lang's one away at Annan, there's quite a high one there as well.
Yeah. So listen out for that. Next time you listen to the Falkirk commentary and the highlights, listen out for Josh in the background, and he'll hate that I've just pulled him up for that one. Josh, great to have you back on, mate. Have we asked you this question? I don't think you've been on this season, have you?
I think it was at the start of the season before you'd come up with the
The most disappointing player that has played for Falkirk. Who have you got? I see there's potentially, if you're watching the YouTube version, one hanging up in the background there.
Yeah, I've got to go with a big Tom Dallison back there. You watched his highlights for Brighton Academy, and he looked a great player, able to play the balls out
big
the back.
Big and strong, aye.
Yeah, you thought he'll be a player and just an absolute shambles. And the worst bit is he's had a good career down south, in League One, League Two. But
played at Wembley. I switched on, was at the playoffs, and he was playing for Crawley. And I was switched on going, hold on a minute, have I missed something here? Is that Tom Dallison playing at Wembley?
I fully expect to see him on Love Island at some point. I'm not going to lie to you.
Join one of his other most disappointing players on there as well.
Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. Right, let's talk about the air game, because we've had all your backstory before, Josh. Let's get into it. So, same team as the game against Thistle, aside from the fact that Miller-Thompson went on the bench. Big Darrell O'Connor was surprisingly dropped, because I thought he played really well when he came on the other week there, but you can only have so many people on the bench. Surprisingly as well, no Ross Monroe on the bench either. So Thomas Gibb, young academy keeper, was on the bench, and I was like, looked at the team and went, shit, see if Hogarth gets injured today, this is going to be the day, and there's just this wee guy's going to get put on. But luckily that didn't happen. But a great experience for Thomas Ross.
Yeah, absolutely. I was on a bit of a rant about this on Saturday. I don't know if you heard me talk about this, John, but I don't think we need a subkeeper, right? I think we could get away with... See, remember back in
Ross?
The day, you would just have like Sammy McGivern going in goals or whoever, right? Just... put a player in. Like, are you trying to tell me Tom Lang can't play in goals if he had to?
Who would be the, that's a great question, though. Who would be the nominated goalkeeper out of, if you look, I think, I'll be honest with you, I think it'd be Hendo just for his height and agility.
Yeah, John likes a big tall boy anyway, so it probably would be Hendo or Cole or someone like that.
But
you've got so many subs on the bench anyway, Ross.
Exactly. Like, I understand
that. You've
got
nine subs.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I know. When it was three subs, I understand that, because you had the option then to do two and then one. Back at, this is old school chat, Josh, you won't understand it. But you used to have only three subs, and you could elect to have three outfield players and a goal, or two outfield players and a goalkeeper. So I get that. But as Josh says, when you've got nine subs, why would you not have a goalkeeper?
I just don't, like, they very, very rarely get used. And I just think it's to have another option outfield is fine. As you said, back in the day, we saw Kevin Drinkle in goals. We saw, I'm sure, Sam McGivern was in goals.
Stevie Kirk went in goals as well, didn't he? I seem to remember Stevie Kirk going in goals.
Yeah, potentially. And it was just, that was the random sight. Wow. You just saw the goalkeeper shirt getting taken off the injured or... sent off keeper and shoved onto someone else.
Classic early 90s and 80s football, everyone.
So Dara O'Connor could have been on the bench after all.
Right, okay. But we had Tom Lang, so we didn't, and Pudgeard Mackey as well, so we didn't really need another centre half on the bench. But there you go.
That's true.
Well, there you go. If you want to join Ross's campaign to have no goalkeeper on the bench, feel free to drop him a DM, because it's just mental. Anyhow, surprised about the lineup after John McGlynn's interview last week, where he kept saying, well, we tried Luke Graham at left back, and there he was again at left back. What did you think, Josh?
Well, I actually missed the Partick game, Guthenly. But I watched the 90 back.
I'd love to have heard your screeches on that Arfield goal, I'll tell you that much.
I think Sean's screeches were fine for that one.
True.
But I didn't think he had that bad a game. Yeah, he was maybe a wee bit slow for the second goal against Partick, but so seeing him in the lineup, I wasn't that. I think we do need his physicality against Ayr are a big team, and just especially for corners. I noticed we've been conceding a lot for corners lately, so maybe having an extra height just for Ayr United, I could understand it. But I actually think he actually did quite well, in my opinion, at left back this week. I see him getting a lot of stick online, but some of the amount of fouls that he buys. And halfway, just where anticipating where the defender's going to be. And he had a lovely little 1-2 early on where Ethan Ross, and he put a good cross in the box. Defender read it well, but it was a good move. So he's getting a lot of stick for...
Josh, I agree with you. I don't think he put a foot wrong, especially in the first half. I thought he was one of a couple of players that actually got pass marks in the first half on Saturday. And I don't think he did much wrong either. I'm quite happy to have him in the starting lineup. I think he should be in the starting lineup. I genuinely do.
But then you've got to feel sorry for Leon McCann, who obviously came off the bench, really showed like what a left-back and a full-back should be doing when he came on against Partick, and obviously got his goal as well. So you've got to, I know why John's doing it. I absolutely get why John's doing it. He's explained why he's doing it, but you've got to feel sorry. Because, look, you can tell Luke wants to play centre half. You suspect if he said, you want to play left back or centre half, he'd go, centre half, please. Because he'd sometimes see when someone cuts inside him, he sometimes struggles with that because he's a big guy. So on the turn, he's not the most mobile. But yeah, I don't think he did much wrong, but you want your fullbacks getting forward, you know, and it just looks ungainly, that big laddie going forward the way he does. Keel Adams is a bit different. I think he's a bit more mobile, a bit more air, but looks, I don't think, got that kind of injection of pace that Keelan has. But, you know, who am I to argue? We beat Thistle, so you keep a winning team, don't you?
I think so.
You love Luke Graham.
I do. He's my favourite. I love Luke Graham. I genuinely think he should be in the starting line. You've not brought him back to not play him. That's
we'll get
my
to thought. That in a minute when we speak about the Morton game, Ross, because I'm going to be interested to see who you think starts against Morton. Started off brightly, first 10 minutes, first 15 minutes, looked all right. And then, when are we going to stop giving away fucking penalties, man? Jesus.
It was a shocker.
It was a stonewall, eh?
Nah, there's no doubt. You can see it's... What's frustrating for me is that it's come from their defender that's just taken on the team. And we've stood off him too much. And then when he's got in the box, that's when I think it's Keelan that it's just a wee bit of inexperience. But he'll learn from that. So it's fine for him to make the mistake because he'll not do that again this season, guaranteed.
Well, you see that and then you see how many penalties we've given away over the last couple of months and you just go, what'll we learn?
The frustration, though, was, especially when you watch it back, and I think John alluded to this in his post-match, Cole was there. He didn't actually have to do what he did. Cole was there to cover. The boy wasn't really in a dangerous position in the box either. The other disappointing part was, and this has, I've not seen this getting called out anywhere, and I know we don't want to berate anybody, right? But Calvin doesn't put a challenge in. Brad doesn't put a challenge in. Keelan then puts a challenge in, and it's a silly one. We should be stopping this guy 10, 15 yards back before he even gets near the box.
Mm. To Scott McMahon, it was a very good run.
Well, it was, but he could have been stopped. He could have been.
Yeah.
On your point, Ross, it's what teams do to us all the time, especially with Ethan Ross. It'll be him doing a similar type of run, and we saw it against Livingston, Erie Knight were at as well. They clatter him maybe 30-45 yards away. They go, they clatter him, we get the free kick, but it's not a dangerous area. They do it further up the park. So Calvin maybe could have, I think it wasn't Calvin because he got initially beat, but someone, Arfield or Spencer, probably could have done something to slow him down.
A couple of chances in between their goals as well. The one that's really screamed out of, we played some really intricate football round the box and then Dylan Tate got through and you're just like, Dylan put the fucking laces through it, and I don't know what he was doing. He was just fannying about with it and then got his shot off and the keeper just picked it up comfortably. But that was the big chance. I thought Ethan Ross had his header as well, but I thought that one, it was just a case of playing too much football. I don't know what you boys thought.
I think we were wasteful. We were wasteful. As you've said, the Dylan Tate, everyone's just screaming, hit it, first time. And he tries to dribble in the box with it, and then he obviously gets a shot off, and it's so, so weak. I just think we were kind of wasteful with it. We're just not, at times, we're just not clinical enough. And John talked about this after the Thistle game, about how the players need to take on board from what happened with Scott last week. He was very, very clinical. That's what the rest of the players need to be shooting on sight. We're trying to fanny about with it sometimes in the box as well. Just have a ping. It might hit off the keeper. It might hit off someone's arse and go in. Who knows?
Just stick your laces through it.
Fell on his left foot with Dylan Tate, and he just didn't have the confidence to hit it with that. He's trying to chop in and take it on his right, but sometimes, I mean, Harry Stone had looked shaky, and he looked shaky early on.
He did.
And well, he obviously, we'll get on to what he did in the second half, but we didn't test him enough in the first half. And that's something that sometimes this Falkirk side can go through spells of. They're trying to find the perfect goal.
Yeah.
And, you know, but we've got players that can strike for distance. Spencer's got it in his locker. The two centre halves can score for distance. Tate scored against Airdrie, a wonderful straight edge of the box. So just got to get more shots away, I think.
Have a dig. Have a go. Absolutely, Josh.
Have a go, have a dig. But see, I want XG and all that sort of stuff. I've read a book about how to win the Premier League, and now I'm not, like, when people come to shoot, I'm like, don't shoot, just look for a better ball and stuff, because go and listen to this book, it's really interesting. But I know, you should just put the laces through it, in my opinion. Ayr went up the park and scored. You know, we don't give away a lot of these type of goals. You know, it tends to be set pieces and penalties that we give away. But Conor McQuillan, I thought, had a very good game for Ayr United. Good shot. Comes off the inside of the post, and there's George Oakley, the big cheating bastard, to tap it home. I was immediately screaming for offside, but on looking back, there was no chance it was offside. He was clearly on. Bastard.
Yeah, again, though, we fanny about it in the middle of the park. We lost the ball at the halfway line, and then we don't close down. Like, how long do we need to put a tackle in to get a foul? As Josh says, Livy do it really well. Ayr done it really well. Why are we not taking a tactical, potentially, you might not even get booked. Why are we not putting tackles in to just stop this before it gets into a dangerous position? And as you've said, it hits the post. And of course, he was there to tap at home. I've no idea what his celebration was. Did anyone catch what was on his
head? Was it Kevin Pepper on his t-shirt and said salty or something like that? A bit, so I don't know if it was a dig at a Falkirk supporter who's maybe been on him at social media or what have you, just slagging him off for being a big cheat, and he's, you know, did it to the crowd. But he got booked for it, didn't he?
He did get booked, yeah. But so celebration aside,
I don't know any Falkirk supporter called Kevin Pepper, mind you. Maybe there is one out there.
No, it's not one, not a name I know. But we could have drawn a foul far earlier in that move. And I hate to say it, but it was Dylan again who's lost the ball in midfield that's led to a goal. And yeah, you know how much I love the guy, but it's wee mistakes that's costing us goals in big games.
Yep. Dylan, I was screaming to be hooked off. I mean, it could have been 3-0 very much after that stupid ball played. George Oakley runs into it. There was no one up to support, thank God, and he tries to go for goal across Nicky's goal. But luckily, it stayed at 2-0, and we were lucky to get away with that one. If he'd put the laces through it, and you never know what had happened, but he tried to place it. But that much needed goal came just before the half time. It had a bit of the feels of Alloa at the end of last season about it as well. Just that last minute kind of, you know, blast kick of the ball pretty much in the second half. Big Hendo doing big Hendo things at the back post. Always loves a goal at the back post, does Hendo. You look back at all the Hendo goals for Falkirk, apart from that screamer against Sissel, most of them are headers at the back post. I don't know why teams do not pick up on this. Harry Stone probably could have done better, Josh, do you think?
Just the sheer power in the header, though. He's made great connection with it, and obviously he's a big laddie, so he's got the jumping reach, just powers through it. One thing, though, you've got to actually credit, Scott Arfield has a fantastic block on one of the defenders. You watch it back, it's just his experience to be in the right place to free Hendo up to get his jump.
Yeah,
and it's that experience that is you know, what we need in this side, because just someone that's been there and done it, knows the tricks of the trade to
streetwise.
To just a little, streetwise, exactly. But goalkeeper, it's kind of at him, and he's flapped at it, and he's kind of, you'd be disappointed to concede it. Like, if Nicky had done that, you'd be like, oh, I probably should have saved that. But yeah, it's a great header, and can I take that away from Hendo?
I didn't notice actually the Arfield block, so I'll have to look back at that. But yeah, that's great to hear. So yeah, 2-1 down at half time. That was a big relief, though, getting that goal, because if we hadn't got it before half time, I don't think we'd come back and draw the game 2-2, because Ayr would have just set up shop in that second half. So they had to try and get something in that second half, because 2-1's a horrible lead to have, as they always say. Very surprised, and I was screaming. I thought Gary Oliver was outstanding in that first half. I thought his hold-up play, his link-up play was brilliant. So when I came back out after having my cup of coffee and getting slagged for opening the Tesco's, I came back out and to see that it was Big Barney that came on. But never argue with John, because it was the right decision to make, even though I thought Gary Oliver was outstanding, Ross.
He did. No, he had a very, very good half. I do have an opinion on it, though, and I don't know if I shared this with you in the second half. I think we maybe talked about it. Bringing on Barney was the right call, in my opinion, and we saw the effect that he had. I think there's loads of permutations that could have kept Gary on, and I would have been quite happy had he stayed on, because I thought he did really, really well. I know there's a bit of chat about does Tate go off, does Spencer go off, bring Scotty back a bit, and then keep Gary in the 10 and bring Barney on. Barney came on, and I thought did fantastically well in that second half. He gave Ayr, that Ayr defence, something different to think about, because we didn't really annoy them much in that first half. We didn't at all. So I think it was the right call, Bijon, to make the change at half time. But yeah, I'm like you. I didn't think Gary would have been the one to go off. I thought it would have been one of the two central midfielders.
I thought Dylan had a very, very poor game, and I was very surprised to see him come back on and park it.
I thought he had a better second half.
He had a better, he grew into the game, as I think Calvin Miller as well did. I thought Ethan Ross did a power of running up and down that line all day. But Calvin Miller really grew into the game as well. As did the team. I thought Scott Arfield, there's another a name you could say grew into the game, because he was very quiet in that first half. I was like, has Scott Arfield touched the ball yet? It was that kind of game, but certainly the whole team, you know, came back into the second half. That change by John made a big, big difference, because it gave Ayr something really to think about. Because we know what Barney, as raw as he is, can get in behind, can hold the ball up. We saw him for a big man. He's got decent feet as well. Just, I guess, that's unpredictable nature of young players like that. And he did make a hell of a difference and gave Ayr something to really think about, Josh.
Yeah, he's well, physical presence that Gary doesn't quite have. Gary's technically fantastic footballer, and he's I'll talk about it all the time. He's IQ, he knows the right ball to play. And I know in the first half there was a chance where everyone's shouting, "Switch the play over," and he fakes the pass over.
Remember that, turns, yeah.
Sells the defender dummying and just dishes it out to Keelan, and it's like that's the play that's great. But when you're playing against Lenny Agbay or Scott McMahon, they're big units.
Yeah.
And you've got to play perfectly with that kind of false nine. And it just wasn't our day for that. It just, the passes weren't coming off. So that's why Barney, the change was necessary, because he could compete for those balls with the bigger defenders.
There was some wild takes on social media on Saturday night, I'm not going to lie. Like, I know, like, the Facebook, like, a couple of Facebook pages.
Oh, my God. Like, Graham McKechnie. Can we just talk about Graham McKechnie? Jesus Christ. If you've not seen Graham McKechnie's post on Facebook on Come On, You Bears, honestly, I was ready to go full in, but then I was just like, nope, stay away.
You were going to go full Karen, were you?
Oh, absolutely.
I just think there was some wild, wild takes. And, like, I had to, like, resist getting involved. Like, because there was people arguing over, Gary should have stayed on, Barney shouldn't have came on, or vice versa, it should have been two of them playing. Yeah, there's loads of permutations, right? But as Josh has just said, we did not lay a glove on them really in that first half. We had to make the change. And yeah, there's arguments of keeping Gary on and put him in different position, but it did work, the change that was made at half time. And we looked a far, far better team in that second half. And I agree with John McGlynn, his post-match, there was only one team in my opinion going to win that game. I think you said it, John, and on the other podcast, the game's another 5-10 minutes, we probably get a goal and we win it, but it wasn't to be. And but it's a massive, massive point.
Of course you agree with your best friend, John.
Dick.
Let's, before we got our goal, we had a couple of penalty shouts. Thoughts on those, Josh?
First one's not a penalty. Second one, and I'm going to do my Ally McCoy's tier, on first glance, I didn't think it was a penalty, but looking back, I think it is.
I thought you were going to some Wakefields.
Not ACDC. I thought, on watching it actually in real time, I thought that's never a penalty. But it's like you say,
have you seen this, the second angle of it?
Yeah, I have.
What are you talking about? The Dylan Tate one?
Keelan Adams. Tate's not a penalty. No. Keelan Adams, though.
It's the Keelan Adams one.
Yeah.
I think. So, my take on this is, I don't know if you remember, later on in the game, Barney had a a challenge, and he won the challenge, and he was through basically one on one.
And then he got
the yellow card for it. It was that's the same challenge as that came in on Keelan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the frustration for me, is that, well, it's the same challenge, one's given and one's not, but I can see why it's not been given.
I have a take on it as well.
Oh, here we go.
Right. We're all in agreement. The one from Dylan wasn't a book. Wasn't a penalty, right?
Yeah.
Dylan's obviously, he's won penalties before, and he's not been given penalties before in this division. Okay. The fact that the Keelan Adams one happened probably 45 to 60 seconds after Dylan's one, I think that's why we didn't get it, because there was a huge shout. And it was a huge shout, because of course you're going to shout for it, you're going to claim for it. We didn't get it. That then happens 45 seconds later. I think the refs just thought, no, listen, they're trying everything here to get a penalty. That's what I think the refs done. I think that challenge happens 5 minutes later. I think we get that penalty.
Interesting. You know, Keelan Adams, I think, actually has come back onto a decent game, apart from giving away the penalty. I think Keelan Adams over the last couple of weeks is starting to motor again. I thought he played.
I've got a theory on that as well, and that's when he originally started to play with Calvin on the right hand side. That's when he really kicked into gear.
Mm.
And then when Cal came back in, Alfie came in on the right side. That's when we noticed that dip. And now Calvin's been playing the right again, because when Calvin inverts and comes in, that opens up tons of space for Keelan.
Yeah.
So I think that helps play work well together.
That's a great shout, Josh.
Yeah, and
that's why he's on commentary, Ross, and we aren't.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, John, they never want us on commentary, because swear and talk about Fifers, so that's just it's not helpful. But I think that's a good shout, and obviously we're not going to go through the whole Callum Morrison thing again. But you're right, Callum would you knew what he was going to do. He knew exactly what he was going to do. Whereas Calvin will mix it up. He will throw a ball in with his right foot. He will cut in and put a cross in with his left. I'm not saying Cal Morrison ended up a one-trick pony, but he knew exactly what he was going to do after he came back from his injury. Keelan has now got that bit of freedom to hit the byline again. And he's done it in the last two games. He must have hit the byline 10 times.
Yeah. Yeah, he had obviously that big that cut across in the just in the first 5 minutes as well, actually. So no, he had a really good game. Barney, however, we didn't need the penalties, because Barney came up with, I think, Wiser, just big and strong, shrugs the player off, goes through. I mean, Scott McMahon was greeting about a foul, never a foul, absolutely no. He obviously got it later on, but got down, big feet. You were just like urging it to go in, you know, when he cut inside, he's just like, oh, put your laces through it, son, let that go in, because it was going to be a great goal. But keeper Harry Stone can't hold it, and Scotty Arfield in there using the experience, boom, lifts it over the keeper, back in the net, 2-2 Bairns, eruptions.
It was, the noise was phenomenal. I see Stuart, who was on the tannoy, I think he had put the volume down a little bit, so I don't think Amarillo was as loud as it would maybe normally be, and it was fantastic. Like, you just heard the ultras, you heard the full crowd actually just go absolutely berserk. It was a really nice moment again.
Can I just say it as well, actually, on this point about playing Amarillo, can we only play it when we're going and winning? See, when we're getting corn back goals, just play it back up, don't do the light show, just play the song, fine, back up the park, start again, because like I'm just like, for your 2-0 down and then you call one back. I think we only when we equalise, or if we go into the lead, should we play Amarillo and Disco Lights?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You wouldn't play the Disco Lights if you're unless you're.
But see, if you were getting beat 3-0 or 4-0 and you played it, just it's already, isn't it?
I like the Disco Lights.
Oh, you like the Disco Lights, yeah. Of course you would. And by the way, I like the new addition. I like the new addition of asking the mascots what their favourite food is and what their favourite artist, because the wee girl said she likes chicken nuggets and Bruno Mars. So I'm just going to ask you that question right now, Ross. What's your favourite? What's your favourite food? And what is your favourite pop star?
Jesus. It's going to be steak.
Steak, right? Oasis.
Steak dinner.
And yeah. Oasis, presumably.
Yeah, but if that would be a class. There was a.
Pop. I know. I'll see. What's your favorite band or artist?
Yeah, Oasis. Definitely. Right,
okay, Josh. What about you? He's going to be young team. He's going to say someone that we don't even know about.
It's a strange one, to be honest. But I've got pizza for food and then a block party.
Paul Parr's a good shout. Good shout. That's, is that not what you came out to win at Falkirk Daft Life? Josh, you came out to the
ball. I was gonna, but we did the wrestling thing.
That's
too.
Right, we did the wrestling thing, that's right. Right, anyway, moving on swiftly. Barney got his goal. Great work from Arfield. Four goals in two games. What a return, Ross.
Yep. Made by Barney. I thought he did fantastically well to get that shot off on his weaker foot again. And as you said, Scotty just follows up as he's in the right place at the right time. And four goals in two games is a phenomenal start to his career. And he's bringing so much confidence to the squad. To
he the certainly party. Came into the game a lot more in the second half.
He did. I honestly, I know I said this earlier on. For me, there was two people who got past marks in the first half. I thought Gary Oliver and I thought Luke Graham. That was the two players.
Endo obviously gets pass marks because he gets pass marks every single day.
Well, yes, that's very true. But in the second half, it was just everybody came into the game. Everybody came into their game. And as you said, Scotty, we four goals in two games now. It's a brilliant return so far. And Ayr done a wee bit of work as well. They knew to kind of make sure they were man marking Scotty, probably more so in the first half, which then didn't create space for Brad and Dylan that it had done against Thistle, which was a wee bit of a disappointment. But he's a class act, a class act, and that is exactly the person that he wanted in that position. Although I think Ethan Ross was there or thereabouts, I think he would have maybe tucked it away as well. One thing we've not talked about, by the way, and I watched this back, it didn't lead to a goal or anything, but do you remember the first attack, I think, of the game? Right at the beginning, Cole put this brilliant pass.
Ethan Ross's flick touch.
Flick with the heel. I've watched that back about 10 times. It was so sexy.
Very good. It was very good. We got in back in at 2-2, and I think from then on, and it was only going to be 1-1, our air were kind of sat off us just trying to get things off of set pieces. But, you know, if it had been 5 or 10 minutes more in that game, we'd have won it. It wasn't to be. We had a couple of, you know, Calvin Miller had a pot shot. The big chance, though, for me was Scotty Arfield very unselfishly rolls the ball into Dylan Tate. He had time to take a touch and find his just in the last few minutes, rolled it, and he absolutely just hit it first time on his left foot. It blazed miles over the bar, and I thought, Dylan, you just had to take a touch, son, and then just pick your position, you know?
To be fair, John, you just criticised him in the first half for taking a touch.
He was taking the touch when he was 2 yards out. I thought Dylan Tate was poor. I really did think he was poor.
See, before we dissect the miss again, because I agree with you, I thought he had time to sort of maybe take another touch and then go in a bit further. The work by Miller-Thompson prior to that, I like the look of him. I think he's going to be good. I genuinely think he's going to be good. His movement, he glided past players. He then obviously plays in Scotty, who, I don't think we've said this already, Scott did not waste a pass in the second half, and every pass that he made was pinpoint to the player's foot. That's what he brings.
Yeah.
That calm, collective, just he knows exactly what he needs to be doing, and hopefully that rubs off on everybody else as the last 12 cup finals.
You hope so, and you know, that's it. You just hope that, I mean, I'm sure it will. Like, Brad and Dylan will learn so much from Scott Arfield, I'm guessing. So I'll be interested how that evolves. But it finished 2-2, probably on reflection, a fair result for both teams. Felt like more of a point for us, obviously, come down from 2-0 down. Scott Brown seemed to be quite happy with a point as well. John, we'll find out what he thought in a minute. Everyone kind of went, all right, okay, a point. I mean, you'd have wanted 3 points before the game, but at half past three, you would have taken a point. You're unhappy, Ross?
Yeah.
No, of course not. You're 2-0 down. I just felt, like you've said, John, I think the way the second half was going, it did feel like there was only going to be one winner. And I genuinely thought we were going to get it. Dylan obviously had that chance. Calvin's shot, you mentioned. Barney just on his wrong foot, just he was through, and he, and again, another nice
ball. Oh, that spin, that little spin, yeah. I thought, oh, he just was unlucky, just dragged it wide. But yeah, that wee spin in the box, man, it's going to come for him. It's going to come for him.
It will, and I genuinely, like, he's obviously a confident goalkeeper. He's a confident goal scorer, and he's proven at the levels that he's been playing that he can score goals. And I think once he gets one, he'll get a barrel load.
Let's hear what John had to say after the match.
John, a difficult game out there. A point taken at the end of the day, and still top of the league.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was a good game. I think difficult, maybe not the right phrase to use. It was a really, really good game. I thought we started really well. We're on the front foot. We're taking the game here. We're creating opportunities. Big Luke had a header, and there's, I think Keelan Adams had a great ball across the face of the goal. And we're very much flowing. We're very much in a rhythm. We're going well. Unfortunately, we go behind, though. You know, the first time they're in our box, and we give away a penalty. The boy like McLennan's had a great run. Keelan's came in for the other side. He's been in the right back kind of position. Comes in. It's a little bit clumsy because Cole's in a good position. But Disney really need to do anything, actually. McLennan's got a lot to do to score for there. So it's a clumsy challenge that we've got to continue to say this. We've got to learn from that. You know, we're giving away penalties very, very cheaply. We're giving ourselves, you know, putting ourselves on the back foot because we end up a goal down out of nothing, basically out of nothing. You know, we've been dominated, you know, the opening stages of the game. We find ourselves a goal down. We've then got to pick ourselves up, which we do. Again, we're flowing. We've got a rhythm, we're passing, we're moving, we're getting in behind, we're getting balls across the face of the goal. We're a little bit shot shy, yeah. Did we hit a target enough for that amount of good opportunities, good positions in the pitch, high up the pitch? Did we work the goalie enough? Probably not. Probably not. We need to pull the trigger a little bit quicker. And of course, we throw a throw in the midfield area. We kind of lose the ball, the break on us. And it's just another sort of cheap goal to lose, and we find ourselves 2-0 down. And attacking wise, well, as I say, maybe the only criticism would be we've not really tested the goalkeeper, but we've done virtually everything barred. But, you know, defensively, we've lost two goals out of very little, and disappointing about that. But a great header by Big Hendo gets us right back in the game, and we needed that to get back at 2-1. And it was good going in at half time, the crowd behind us, you know, sensing, you know, we've got, you know, a big part to play in this game in the second half. And we did. We thought we dominated the second half. We got the goal back and we're looking to try and get a winner. Big Barnes played a huge part in their goal. We felt we just wanted something different in the second half. Gary did nothing wrong, but we wanted a different type in the second half. So, and Barney gave us that. He ruffled up the defenders. He's managed to knock a ball on that he was probably second favourite to get to it, but he made it his. He ran in behind. He was positive. Come inside on his weaker foot and hit a really, really good, powerful shot on target, which the goalie spills. And Scott Arfield's there to show, again, the composure, the player, and the experience that he's got. It was different class, the way that he's finished that off. And it's then for us to go and try and win the game, and we've tried to do that. We couldn't quite get the winner. So, good mentality in that we were behind in the game. We bounce back in the game. We take the game to air. We're on the front foot. And just maybe at the end of the day, disappointed that we didn't take all 3 points, because I thought that we kind of merited it. But it's a game away. There's no damage done. Now we've got 12 games to go, one third of the season. So, yeah, it's just a matter of seeing who's going to do. It's almost like starting the league again, saying, right, now the 12 games to go, who's, you know, we've got ourselves in front. We obviously want to stay there. We've got an opportunity on Friday night, a difficult game at Morton. It always is. We know that. Doogie will have them well fired up, so we understand it'll be a difficult game. But we've got another opportunity to try and put this gap, to bigger numbers and turn the pressure on the two teams right behind us.
John McGowan there, you can never tell, poker face John. I mean, what I would say is it went into, I think the disappointing thing, and I think this is why you got a lot of the moans from the stands and on social media on Saturday night, is because we had the opportunity there in the last three games against our two closest rivals. You know, we've taken 1 point out of the Ovie game and the Ayr game. I think that's the disappointing part of it. I mean, we got obviously the win against Thistle, but I think there was a chance there to really put down a marker. I think, and again, it goes back to the psychological thing that I've been talking about. I said from the start of the season, playoffs is, you know, what it is. But because the expectation has been raised up and we've been sitting top for so long, there's now this expectation that we can go on and win this league. And it's hard to contain that. You know, we all feel it as supporters. We're all getting excited about it. But yeah, the realisation is, you know, 12 games now still to go. We've got to go to Somerset. We've got to go to whatever they're calling it now, the home of the Set Fair Arena. Tough. It's a tough run-in. So I think that's why the frustration maybe came from the stands and, like I say, on social media at the weekend, because we have only walked away with that one point out of the two games against them.
I think the frustration for me, especially with more so the, because I don't think the fans really, there was a few grumblings at the game, right?
There always is.
More so at the first half than the second half. But like social media just now is frightening. And some of the takes from like you have fans who've got an opinion one day, another opinion the next, they go back to the next opinion after a win. They've got like more faces, more sides than a bloody dodecahedron. Do you know what I mean? They just like
pick, good use of pick, dodecahedron.
Thank you. But just pick a lane and fucking stay in it and back the team. I'm getting pissed. No, but I'm getting pissed off.
Oh, here we go. Ross is on a rant, everyone. Well, get the popcorn out.
I know, but I just, like, we've got 12 games. We're top of the bloody league. I know we're 2 points. We could have been better, right? We could have been more points ahead if we'd won the games, if you'd only had balls, etc., right? We're top of the league. It's in our own hands. Win the games, we've won the league. Fuck everybody else. I just think he's right. Focus on Morton, put the pressure on the other two on the Saturday, and we see what happens. It is in our own hands. Why are people panicking? Like, genuinely, why are, like, I don't get the panic.
I've been a Falkirk supporter long enough that I don't have my expectations raised that high. So the fact that we're top of the league for me is like amazing, because I said playoffs would be an amazing season. And if we end up in the playoffs,
you would be like, I get it though, you would be disappointed now.
I don't think I would be. I've set myself up. I'm that kind of half glass full kind of guy, Ross. I've set myself up with a wee half pint there in the glass, and I'm quite happy with my half pint. You know, even though
there's a difference.
Even though it's half full, you know, it's half empty. Aye.
I know, but there's a difference between, like, you wouldn't be raging, but you'd be disappointed, wouldn't you? Like, you wouldn't be raging about it, but you get the impression that there's guys out there.
Psychologically, I've set myself up for a fall.
Furious.
Because if you set yourself up psychologically for a fall, you'll never be disappointed. There you go. That's what I was saying. And talking of social media, let's hear what you had to say about the game after the match. So this is, we'll kick off with Hendo. Says a game of two halves, pitch first, better second. The uncertainty around the team formation and selection may be our downfall. Sort out left back, centre half selections. We're 7 favourable games ahead, but we must turn around our performance levels ASAP. Left back and centre half selection. That's the last bit we'll hear about this. We'll hear about this more. Let's move on.
Indeed. Sandy says, delighted to get a point after going 2 down. Time to drop our captain, Cole Donaldson, and put Luke Graham in that position. Bring Leon McCann in at left back and drop Tate and put Finn in the middle. Start Barney, in my opinion.
Not going to ask your opinion on this, Josh, because you obviously do the commentary and don't put you in an unfair position there. Ross, who, being serious, who starts at centre-half and what team lines up against Morton? There's been a lot. This is all you've seen on social media, is Tate and drop and call. That's been the two changes that have been prominent on social media.
It wouldn't be a popular opinion, but I would keep the defence as is. It's the 4 strongest defenders we have currently. I'm not saying they're all in the right positions, but I think it's the 4 strongest defenders that we have.
You're up for putting square pegs in round holes then?
He's a footballer. He's got 2 feet. He knows how to play left back.
Right, okay. What about Tate?
I think Dylan Tate, I think he needs a bit of a rest. For no other reason. And I'm not saying a rest as in he's knackered. I don't mean he's knackered at all, because he's fit as fuck. But in terms of form, like, there's players there that will be, Aidan Nesbitt, Finn Yates, players there that will be champing at the bit to start, and I think they probably deserve one.
Okay. Darry says, Poyers came down with yet another case of fan fright. Gaffer persisting with Graham at left back is a mistake. Every first touch is backwards and it made us lopside the first half. Played well the second half and probably should have nicked it. An opportunity missed.
Just to double check, you said fan fright, not anything.
Fan fright, Ross. Get your mind out the gutter.
Dave says, not a disaster, but we need to play to our strengths. Gary Oliver, still unbeaten. We're not playing our best defence, in my opinion. Central midfield had an off day today. We freshen up there might not go amiss. Barney looks a player. However, Scotty to the rescue.
Yeah, the midfield was completely MIA in that first half, I have to say. SPF offshore. Positives, we fought back and stayed top of the league. Negative, Tate is cooked. He's been for a while, but it's particularly clear yesterday. Donsel still isn't reacting at the same speed he was at the start of the season.
Yep. Paul says, great comeback, but our best centre-backs are Luke Graham and Liam Henderson. Tom Lang, then Cole Donaldson. I think Tate needs a rest and Yeats deserves a run in the team. Big Barney did well when he came on, but Oliver did well too in that first half.
I told you it was a theme to this week's correspondence. Caroline says, Falkirk Dafty has to be, and I'll not even say his name, blank, for celebrating and showing us whatever he had written in front of us under his top to noise up the KMS. Too small, couldn't read it, says Caroline.
Love that. Roger says, happy with a point as we were close to being three down before Hendo pulled a goal back. Much better in the second half, however. Ayr were well drilled and deserved the point. We need to sort the back four out. We looked great earlier in the season and I would revert to that.
Fair enough. Andrew says, central pairing with Donaldson, Henderson doesn't work, never has. That needs sorted. Bring in Nesbitt for Tate. McCann needs to play left back for his crosses. If Luke is playing, he needs to play centre half. Barney did well when he came on. Their keeper didn't have a save to make.
Well, he did. He made a couple, but I think he was dropsy, wasn't he? Like Josh said earlier on, like we didn't test the keeper enough. Yeah. We did a little, but the common theme from him is he's a dropper.
Yeah,
And why we didn't try and expose that, I'll never know. And then, and finally, Benjamin says, maybe not podcast worthy, but if I had a missus, Scotty could father. Sorry, if I didn't have a missus, Scotty could father my kids.
I don't know how that biologically works,
but we'll
work that out as we go. Right, Josh, you kick us off with Falkirk Daft rated. Who was the best player on that park on Saturday?
Good question.
Good.
I actually thought Calvin Miller, and I thought it was quite right to get his man of the match for the sponsors. I think the amount of running that he does, I think he's technically, when he's got the ball at the feet and he's running at defenders, he's fighting them. And I think he created a lot of opportunities. He got, and his corners, his set pieces are brilliant. He's delivering.
Ross Wayne.
I was kind of to-ing and fro-ing from a couple of players, but for the impact he made in the second half, I'm going to say Barney Stewart.
Well, there you go. And it's a total three-way. If in doubt of who you think is man of the match, always go for Liam Henderson. It was Hendo for me. Just again, just excellent at the back. Got his goal. How are we going to decide this? How are we going to decide it? Right, Josh, you have the call. Who gets Falkirk Dafty? You can go with your own or you can go with me or Rossi's.
Go with Big Hendo. Go with Big Hendo.
There we go. See? There you go. Big Hendo wins out on that one. Falkirk, Dafty of the week. Who is it going to?
Graham McKechnie.
Graham McKechnie gets Falkirk Dafty of the week from Josh. What are you thinking, Ross?
I think for losing the ball and his man in the midfield and wasting the late chance, I'm going to go Dylan Tate.
Oh, interesting. I am going to go for something completely different and say Scott Brown, second nomination for the fact his budgie once again died. And he, for a man who has lots of money, really should get himself into Forbes or something like that and get himself a nice pair of trousers that fit him. Because every time he turns up at the Falkirk Stadium, either his cat or his budgie has died because it's always at half-mast trousers. So that is going to be my nomination for Falkirk Dafty. Who's getting it, Josh? We can go with yours, Graham McKechnie, if you want. I feel poor sorry for poor Graham right enough. Let's face the fact, he doesn't even listen to this podcast, that's for sure. This is too happy clappy for him.
Yeah, I'll give it to Scott Brown for his half mass trousers.
Scott Brown's half mass agreement, Ross.
Yeah, that's all right with me. I think that was my first game of the season nomination as well. So yeah,
Scott Brown, double for him and his trousers. So there we go. Right, there we go. Air game dealt with, and we've got another game to deal with now. It's Falkirk Daft versus. Now, Josh has played this game at Behind the Wall, where the Falkirk Daft boys had a victory over the Falkirk TV boys. Delighted with that. But Ross is doing the questions this week, Josh, and you're up against me, the weakest of the two, so you've got a good chance of winning this. Right, Ross, five questions about the Bairns penalty shootout style. If it goes to a tiebreak, we've got a tiebreak question. Is that right?
We do indeed, yes. And there's a common theme with the questions.
Oh, excellent.
Do you want to use something to write your...
hold on. I'm in a radio studio just now. There's always pens and paper lying about here. Hold on. I'm in the Greatest Hits radio studio today with where you and Cameron normally work, so there'll probably be no paper around because he doesn't use anything like that. Right, hold on. There we go.
He just
needs Channel 5.
Channel 5, you and Cameron. Yeah, I've got a Sharpie. Mm-hmm. I've found some paper. Let's go.
Excellent, excellent. So, Josh, once John has revealed his... you will share your answer once John has written down his answer, okay? So, question number one. Who was the last player we signed from Greenock Morton? Who was the last player that we signed from Greenock Morton?
This Sharpie's not very good, but I've written something down.
Okay. That was quick, John. You seem really confident with this one. Okay. Josh, do we have an answer?
Whether that's right or not, I'm not sure. Calvin Miller?
You're going with Calvin Miller. John?
Gary Oliver. Can't even see that.
So,
Gary Oliver.
Gary Oliver is a good answer. But he did sign before Calvin Miller, and Calvin Miller was the last player that we signed from Greenock.
Was he? I thought Calvin got Calvin Miller from down south. Oh, Jesus.
Nope. So Calvin is the answer. Josh, you are currently 1-0 to the game. Question number two. I told you there was a bit of a theme this week. So the last time that we faced Morton was in November, and we won 6-0. Now, we had five different scorers that day, but who got the two goals? So we had five different scorers, but one player scored two goals that day. Who was it?
I've written down something, but I missed that game because I was at the Ruggers. So I've written down a name, which I think it was.
Okay. Josh, come to you.
Is that many goals, though? The only merchant that won for me. We'll go Ethan Ross.
You're saying Ethan Ross, John?
I've also written down Ethan Ross.
It's still 1-0 to Josh. The correct answer was Brad Spencer.
Oh,
scored from open play, and he also had a penalty right after the halftime started. Sorry,
do we think Brad Spencer's off the penalties now, by the way? Do you think it's Scotty Arfield that's on them?
Ooh.
I think he's missed two now, so I think he will be.
Could be.
Right, next question.
Okay, question number three. Now, I'm quite excited about this one. It's a who am I?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So, guys, who am I? I played at Ajax as a youth player before signing for Rangers in 2013. I had various loan spells, including my first spell at Greenock Morton. I signed permanently for Falkirk in 2016, making 34 appearances and scoring the one goal, before being loaned back to Morton again. My last club was York United, but who am I?
You do that again?
Yes. So I played at Ajax as a youth player before signing for Rangers in 2013. Had various loan spells, including my first spell at Green at Morton. I signed permanently for Falkirk in 2016.
Got it.
Four appearances and scored just the one goal before being loaned back to Morton again. And my last club was York United. Who am I? So take your time. Josh has got it. So, John, you have it.
Well, I said that really confidently. I think I've got it.
Ajax.
How he came through Ajax, I will never know.
That's made me more confident.
I've got no idea. I'm trying to think of Dutch players. And that went to Rangers and then signed for us. Could that be a Dutch player? And Gerard Daffies is the only one, but it wasn't 2016. Nah, I'm gone. Nah.
Not got it? Nah. Okay. Josh.
Is it Luca Gasparotto?
Fuck me.
It was Luca.
Jesus Christ. How did he ever play for Axe?
Oh, we've got Gasparotto.
So, it was indeed Luca Gasparotto. And the bit I omitted from the question, because I thought this might give it away, York United play in Canada.
Ah, very good. Because I thought, I think you've got, I was like, it's York City. I thought you've
York
got that.
City, yeah.
Very good. And he was a Canadian international as well.
He was. So 2-0 so far to Josh.
I need this is for the winner.
These, yeah. So we play Morton on Friday night. Which, this is a classic Ross question, by the way. Which starts with the letter M. But how many players have played for Falkirk in the league this season whose surname also starts with the letter M? So we play Morton on Friday night, which starts with the letter M. But how many players have played for Falkirk in the league this season
whose surname
also starts with the letter M?
Classic Ross question.
I should know this because I got a team sheet in front of me every week.
You should know this, Josh.
I think I've got it.
So I'm looking for a number here.
Are you including Stirlingshire Cup games, by the way? Because
He said league.
League only, John.
Just as well.
Are you shafted Jack Cochran, by the way, including the Stirlingshire Cup?
I know. Absolutely. Aye, that was the last time, thank God. I wasn't complaining that time. I'm going to complain now after this. Jesus.
I thought you were going to go into a Ewan Cameron hissy fit there.
Did he come off the bench? Did he come off the bench at one point? I think he did. Right, okay. Hold on. Ross, I can't believe you've got it. Right, okay. Okay. I think I'm ready to go with my answer.
Right. Josh, I will come to you. What is your number?
Six.
You're saying six.
Josh, tell me your six,
you've got more.
Oh, wait, did you say started?
No, just played in the league.
All right, that's fine. Calvin Miller, Ross McKeever, Cal Morrison.
Oh, fuck! I've just realised what I've done wrong.
Michael McKenna, McKenna, Mackey.
It's six is the correct answer. It was indeed McKeever, Mackey, McCann, McKenna, Miller, and Callum Morrison. So, yeah, three.
Did McCrone not come off the bench at one point?
Not in the league. It was the cup game by Bucky.
Yeah. Damn it.
I used Better Middle as my source. So,
well done, Josh.
Really well done, sir. Well done. Play the music, John.
Bastard. I've had a terrible day. I'm ill. It's 5 to 10 at night. I'm still in work.
Where's my Champions League music?
Just beating the fucking daft. Let you into the wee secret. It goes into post-production, Josh. Just letting you behind it. A bit like the Wizard of Oz. I've just let you in and the listeners and viewers in behind the scenes. So what you hear in the background has just been put out in post-production and not actually happening in real time. So apologies for that. I could probably, if you want, I could probably sing it for you at this point.
Oh, it's alright.
Yeah, it's fine. It's okay. You can hear it in the background now. See what I've done there? You can hear it in the background as you go out upon your white horse. Because you're being
Redemption for Falkirk TV.
Yeah, Redemption for Falkirk TV. We'll take Sean. We'll have to get Sean back on as well. Josh, always a pleasure. Lovely to have you on. Me and Josh have constant back and forth about short corners and zonal marking every Saturday. There's generally a message comes in whenever we score from a short corner. I can guarantee one thing that's happening. I'm going to get a message from Josh on a Saturday night. But all right, thanks for coming on, mate. Really appreciate it. If you want to be like Josh, do that, get involved. The time has run out pretty much, but we will be looking for next season. Pinned it at falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue. Are you?
Anyway, let's talk about Morton. But before we do that, we've got to put a big salute into the Falkirk football fans in training. The boys, the T8s, are playing football, making memories every Monday at Stadium 8 to 9. They've just finished their game as we record this. Tuesday, 7:30 to 8:30. And I've got a new initiative for the Falkirk Foundation Walking Football Squad. That happens on a Friday between 5 and 6. So it's for over 50s, 8-a-sides, playing to the old five school rows, and they're calling it Super Vets Football. You get down to the stadium on a Friday between 5 and 6 if you want to get involved with that. All links and all the details for Ian, Willie and Dougie are below, so get in touch with the boys. Great bunch of lads. I talked about them all season. What a great camaraderie they've got. Lava Cup's coming up, and we've got the day, I think, potentially for the Falkirk Daft team versus the Falkirk football fans and training team, which is hopefully going to happen early June. Just waiting on a clarification from the club that we can make that happen. Our own charity game on that on the pitch at Falkirk. So hopefully bigger and better than it was last year. That's the aim. But love to see it down there. But yeah, get involved with the Falkirk football fans in training. Get involved with them. You can play against us. Not that that'll be an incentive. But that's going to happen in June. And like I say, get down on a Monday, 8 till 9, or Tuesday, 7:30 to 8:30. Right, let's talk about Morton. They're in action. Mental fixture clash, by the way. The fact that they're playing Hamilton on tonight when this podcast goes out, and then they've got us on Friday. So you wouldn't be happy if you're a Morton supporter, would you?
Not at all. I'm personally, however, delighted that this is what's happening. It is a bit odd that they've scheduled.
Yeah.
To be honest, I get there's not too many dates, but you wouldn't think they would play them. You wouldn't think they would make them play midweek when they're already scheduled to play on a Friday. However, John, I suppose it's no different to playing on a Wednesday night and then a Saturday. It's no different to that. But I think you're right, though. It's a tough schedule. The three home games on the spin for Morton. They obviously drew Airdrie at the weekend, Aki's Tuesday, and then us Friday night. They haven't lost since we pumped them in November.
Mental, they've unbeaten in 10.
Yeah, they've not lost the game. So fair play to them for that. I don't like Dougie Emery as a person.
I don't think many people do like Dougie Emery. No.
So like a,
he's a lovely guy, apparently, in all accounts.
That may well be. I would love nothing better than for us to pump them again come Friday night. However, I think the pitch is it wasn't looking great already when I saw the highlights of their game against Airdrie. It's obviously a bit crap weather this week as well, so you would assume that it's going to get dug up pretty badly against Aki's. So God knows how it's going to look come Friday night. It is going to be a bit of a battle.
I think we might see the biggest Falkirk side that have ever been put out on a pitch on Friday night, because I don't think that pitch is going to, after playing against Hamilton, after playing here, they train on it as well, the weather we're about to have, I think it's going to be an ugly, ugly game of football, and I fully expect he might go Rovers and go 3-5-2 again, and put Lang back in at centre-half, potentially move Henderson in, maybe go potentially left-back Luke Graham, Cole Donaldson, Tom Lang and Darryl O'Connor at the back, then put, this might be Keelan Adams, then put Hendo into midfield, and just the ugliest, just make it really ugly, and then put Barney up front. I think it'll be a huge, just ugly game of football. I might be wrong, the surface might be like a bowling green, I highly doubt that. So we've seen how surfaces aren't conducive to the football we play. Let's go back to Bonnie Rigg last season. But I think it's going to be a tough game. And I think he will change his team to suit the conditions. What do you think, Ross?
I'm not sure about the change to formation. I think he's done it. I don't know if we'll see it much again. But he did say it was in the locker, just in case. He did say that, didn't he? So it could happen, John. It could. We're obviously surmising that the pitch is going to be rank. If he did play the team that you're suggested, it probably would be like, it would be the Harlem Globetrotters in terms of height. I just don't see him abandoning the sort of trying to play football. Like obviously the whole, as you said, the Bonnie Rigg situation, which was probably a little bit, I don't think the pitch will be anything like Bonnie Rigg's last year, but I think it's obviously going to be a probably on the worst side of good. But they are on good form, and I think we are gonna, it will be a battle. So we do need to be at our best. Whatever our best looks like, we need to be at our best. And I know we said this on social media earlier today, but and I know it's on TV, but like what I think the players would massively appreciate a big following through to Greenock on Friday night, because we've got 12 cup finals left and that we need to make every game count.
Yeah, it's getting to that point where you're trying to tick off the games now. Yeah. Chance obviously to go 5 points clear and put pressure back on Livingston there. If we went clear come Saturday, what would you want, if it does happen, if we do get a win at Morton, what would you like to see happen at Ayr Livingston the next game day? Would you like a Libby win or a draw between the two?
Probably a Libby. Well, it's one of those two. You certainly you don't want an Ayr win. If Libby were to win, that would be a 4 point gap. If it's a draw, it's obviously helpful there as well. A draw probably feels like the best outcome there, John. Yeah, because they're cutting their own throat. So yeah, probably a draw. Is that what you're thinking as well?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. 5 points clear. If we were to win and then they have to draw, but it's all ifs, buts and maybes. And as Ross said, get yourself through to Greenock if you can. I won't be because my wife's got a night out, so I will be watching it on the old telly box on Friday evening with a beer in hand. But yeah, and remember, if there are spacing behind the wall, get in touch with Brian and you hopefully get through and get that fantastic offer from behind the wall. You will find Ross Wayne on that very bus, having a few Venoms up on behind the wall. And I tell you what, if you go up to behind the wall, you see Ross, he will happily buy you a Venom.
Man, and it's just...
Is it just frozen there, did it? Brilliant. So yeah, Greenock, we'll see what happens. Predictions?
I think it'll be a bit of a battle. Yeah. I'm going to say 2-1.
2-1. I think it'll be a 1-0 ugly, ugly game of football. But we will wait and see what happens at Greenock come this Friday.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall. Stay local. Eat and drink global.
And that, my friends, is it for Falkirk Daft. I managed to get through the last, I don't know how long we've been recording, hour and a half or so. I feel terrible. It's now 10:05. I'm sitting in a radio studio. There's very few people left in this radio building at this point. Get the small violins out. I'm feeling ill, so thank God that date is over.
You're nearly done, pal.
Just about done. But before we go, we've got to say thank you for all the people who got nominated on the Dominic E. Orfer Role of Honour, and thank you very much to Gordon and Daniel who pointed out, actually, quite rightly so, Dominic E. Orfer was not the only Nigerian international to play for Falkirk. We also had Enoch Shawumi.
Big Enoch.
So he also played for, there you go. So there we go. But on the Dominic E. Orfer Role of Honour, Archie, Charlie, Scotty, James, Del, Babake, John, PGM, Curse, Dave, Phil, Daniel, Paul, Dave and Joe all on there. And I think just as an ode to our other Nigerian international, let's make next week's Enoch Shawumi.
Yeah, right. Sounds like a plan.
Another good one to spell for you all there. So there you go. That's it. Enoch Shawumi. Get that one. That proves that you've listened to this point in the podcast. Thanks very much for listening or watching. Remember, we're on YouTube as well as all the podcast platforms. Like and subscribe, everyone. Like and subscribe. We should really get on TikTok, shouldn't we? But that's what the Wayne's a lot. People listening to this don't. No, we're not TikTokers, are we, Ross? I can imagine you doing. I can imagine your two girls making you do those. Dad, come and dance to this song.
Well, I've done my fair share. I wouldn't want to be on there watching it. But yeah, I have taken part.
There you go. If you want to buy merch, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. We say it every week. Yet to put out a tweet about it. Ross, write it down in the minutes. This is your job. You've got to do the minutes. You are the king of social media. So merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk, get it in the minutes. And if you want to reach out, if you want your business, thank you very much again to Stuart and the team. As I scroll back, the sdsgardenbuildings.co.uk have sponsored this week's episode. If you want to come on as a sponsor, we'd love to have you as well. We are very affordable and we like to keep it in the Falkirk family. So as we say, if you are looking to get a pub or an office in your backyard, check out Stuart's website, sdsgardenbuildings.co.uk. All the links are below, as they say, on YouTube. Onwards, upwards, Greenock is next. Let's see if we are next week. It's going to be an interesting week, no matter what happens. No titles are won in February, but hopefully titles are won in March. We will find out what happens. Great to be a Falkirk Bairn at the moment, still top of the league. Scotty Arfield's with us. Happy days. I'm going up the road. Ross, sign us off.
Very unexpected, buddy.
We're Falkirk Duff. We're Falkirk Duff. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Duff. We're Falkirk Duff. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Duff. We're Falkirk Duff. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk Bairn, we're Falkirk Duff. We are Falkirk Duff.